Good morning, everyone. There's a story of a young brother and sister who wanted to do something special for their mother. She was always hinting how tired she was, and she was always seemed uptight. So they pooled their money together and asked their dad to take them to the flower shop so they can get some flowers for their mother. They wanted to get some nice flowers, some that she really liked, and they looked around and for a while and finally found the perfect arrangement. It was already made up, and it had their mom's favorite flowers in it, and it even came with a ribbon across the top, and it said, "Rest in peace." Life indeed can bring about turmoil and unrest in our lives. We can become overwhelmed with the pressures of life at times. John proclaimed from his first epistle, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness." We heard Peter's acclamation today. He has caused us to be born again. Wonderful reassurances. But how did they get there? Because you see, it wasn't always like that. Something happened to Peter and John. Something happened to all the disciples. Today we read that the disciples were gathered in this room together, all except Thomas. Now remember, these guys are still in somewhat of turmoil in their lives. Yes, the tomb is empty. Yes, Mary Magdalene has reported that she has seen the Lord. But they are also still processing all of this. Is he alive? Yes, but where is he? There's probably a multitude of emotions going on. There is confusion and there is excitement. And on top of that, what about the Sanhedrin? That is still hanging over them. We just read on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. We're like that sometimes, aren't we? When things are not going so well. When we have issues with someone. We just want to get away, go to a room, lock the door. Sometimes we think by hiding, the issue will go away. We might be separating ourselves from it physically, but the issue is still there. And yes, sometimes we need to do that to defuse, depending on the situation. But the issue is still stirring in our hearts. The door of our hearts can be still locked with whatever is raging inside there. Well, these disciples and others with them were physically locked in this room, but their hearts were still stirring with all sorts of stuff. Emotional unrest. But then something happens. In the midst of this gathering, Jesus suddenly appears. He didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey guys, it's me, open up." He didn't send word that I'll be there at a particular time, although he did say, "I will be there." He just shows up and he says these four remarkable words. "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands. He shows them all the evidence that it is indeed him. And again, he says, "Peace be with you." Now, when we think of peace, we might have a tendency to think of a broader peace, a world without war, a family without an argument, a dispute that comes to resolution. That is peace on one level. But this peace is different. This peace is something that is beyond our natural understanding. This peace reaches down into the very depths of our soul. Jesus was reaching right into the heart of these people who were dealing with all this stress of the moment. You see, if we let our emotions control us, no matter what it is, it can bring turmoil to other areas of our lives. Greg Brewer, who is the bishop of Central Florida, once said, "Regardless of what you say you believe, what captures your imagination is most important to you." And it's true. If you allow your imagination to be filled with the turmoil of life, if we allow our imaginations to run amok with certain issues, it can become the driving force of our lives. Soon there is no peace because of the turmoil. So Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then he did something remarkable. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This was their first transition into experiencing Jesus Christ in the true spiritual sense. No longer with them just teaching and on-the-job training. This is a revelation of sorts with these guys. That is to be filled with his presence by his Spirit. And this is a powerful moment. This is God. This is the creator of the universe. This is the risen Lord. When God, think about this, when God made man from the dust of the earth and woman from the rib of the man, he breathed into their nostrils and brought life. Here is God looking at these persons gathered in this room, these persons who are spiritually and emotionally broken. And he looks into their hearts and sees the turmoil. And he breathes on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive what you have been missing. Allow the peace that only I can give you to come. Allow the fullness of what I have for you to come into you. Allow the salvation that only I can offer to come to you. You are set free. Let it go." And in a mandate, he tells them, take that to everyone out there. Introduce them to the forgiveness that only I can give. You see, through my peace, you are able to forgive. If not, they're not. What a wonderful transformation that is taking place here. Amongst all that has happened, after looking at all the surroundings, they take a look inside themselves, and there is now peace. And now they believe. When that peace comes into a person, there is no doubt that you can believe what you know to be true. That is the exact experience that I was talking about last week on Easter. You see, I don't believe just because of what I can see. I believe because of the remarkable peace that came when I experienced the peace that only can come from Jesus Christ. I believe because the issues I was facing at the time seemed minuscule to the joy and the peace that I suddenly was feeling. The other day as I was preparing my message, I was listening to some music on YouTube, and I had one Christian artist that I was listening to, and all of a sudden it just goes into other artists who came up after that on YouTube. And the song came up right when I was at this point in my preparation. I thought, wow. Thank you, Lord. That's great. It's a song by Zach Williams. And the chorus goes like this. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's the way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's the prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's the chain breaker. I couldn't ask for a better description of what I was what it likes to be set free. That's exactly what Jesus was doing to these disciples who were there and others who were in this locked room, full of fear, full of uncertainty. Jesus comes and breathes on them. This is not Pentecost, by the way. This is salvation for them. This was God breathing new life into them as they were reborn. However, one of them wasn't there. Thomas was having a problem with his faith. He probably wanted to believe. After all, he's seen been with the Lord for this as long as the others. He's heard Jesus teach. He saw everything that the others saw. He experienced everything externally that they had experienced. But the turmoil for him in the past week has just been too much. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I put my finger in his hand, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Have you ever been there? I know I was. I was like I was walking through the state of Missouri. Show me. Show me it's real. Show me that what you're telling me is true. And when I said yes to Jesus, I found that that faith is not based on, again, on what you see. Faith is based on receiving what you can't see and then experiencing it. 8 days later, Jesus steps into that room again with the disciples and once again says those remarkable words, "Peace be with you." And he walks over to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, put your finger here in my hand. Reach out and put your hand in my side. Believe." Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said, "You've believed because you've seen, but blessed are those that do believe and have not seen." You see, when the world beats you down, when friends who don't know the reality of the Lord begin to express hopelessness, it can affect you. I don't know how many times I've heard people say there is no hope regarding a particular situation. The minute you confess there is no hope, you have taken God out of the situation. The minute you say there is no way out of this situation I'm in, you've taken God out of it. You have reduced Jesus to a man who gave good teaching. When Jesus appeared to those persons in that room, nothing had changed on the outside. The world around them was the same. There were still people who probably wanted them dead. The external condition that caused all the fear didn't change. What changed was on the inside. I want to ask you a question. What's going on inside your heart today? As Bishop Brewer would ask, what is capturing your imagination? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is in the peacemaking business. Every Sunday morning, we open our service with these words. We just read it a few minutes ago. Sometimes we gloss over these things, but we read these words. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. In other words, he knows what is going on inside us. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. He knows what's troubling you. He knows whatever it is trying to break you down. What we are asking him is to cleanse us by your Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings peace and wholeness. He brings cleansing to our minds. He breaks the chains that bind us. And what's the outcome of that? That we may perfectly love you. In other words, we are unhindered in our love for him. The stuff that life brings along is no longer blocking us in our relationship with him. And we can magnify your holy name. Now, how do we magnify his holy name? We let him be known. We tell people. We praise him for what he's done. We lift him up whenever we can. When those disciples had the presence of God's Spirit in them, they got excited. It all made sense. And to let it be known. Just listen to what John said in his first epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of God. He goes on, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Those disciples left that room in the assurance and the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a quote the other day by Charles Colson. Most of you know Charles Colson was one of President Nixon's 12 closest insiders during the Watergate issue. He gave his life to Christ while serving his sentence in prison. And regarding the truth of the resurrection for him and the disciples standing on their faith for 40 years and even willing to be stoned, beaten in prison, and even died, Colson said this, "They, the disciples, would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me that 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible." And for him, that sealed it for him, that Jesus is real. Those disciples were set free on that day. But he had more in store for them that would come later. He has more in store for each of us. I want to encourage you, search your heart today. What hinders your walk with the Lord, if anything? What kind of chain might be binding you? Jesus Christ, by his life-giving Spirit, wants to set you free. Let the light of Christ shine in you. Let his peace still the troubled waters of your life. Can you believe it? He's real. He wants to do something in you. Allow his Spirit to touch those areas that are hindering you and blocking you and set you free. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit. We thank you that you want each of us, Lord, to walk in the freedom that you have given us, that you have breathed new life into us, Lord God, and we can be born again and walk in that life that you have given us. So, Father, I ask for each person here, the anointing of your Spirit on them, that you would encourage them, Lord God, in all that you have for them. Break those chains that bind anybody in this room, Lord God, that is hindering their walk with you, that is hindering their faith. We ask, Lord, that you would set them free. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And we thank you and give you all the honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.